So we started 2 weeks ago. We moved to the beginning of the Sefer after spending quite a few weeks doing various letters and other short sichot of Rav Asher Weiss. We moved to the first part of the Sefer, which are the longer, more in-depth essays. And we actually saw 2 weeks ago, chapter one in the whole book was actually quite short. And then we saw last week, Perek Bet, or chapter two, which was also pretty short. But now, as we're going to start today, Perek Gimel, chapter 3. So this is where the essays start getting longer. We will certainly not finish it in today's shiur. We will need at least two, maybe three. We'll have to see. But I'd like to at least see the opening four or five pages, the highlights of them, in this week's shiur, and then we'll see how far we can get next week as well. So the issue which Rav Asher Weiss is dealing with here is the most fundamental question, as you can see here in the subheading, Biyesod Geter HaBitachon. He's dealing with nothing less than the definition of bitachon. What exactly does that mean? Now, in short, we've already seen the short answer to the question, which will be repeated a little bit, but we're going to get much more in depth. The short answer to the question we've seen so far is that emunah is abstract belief, and bitachon is belief in action. That's, you know, there's talking the talk, and then there's walking the walk, so to speak. But now, Rav Asher Weiss is going to get into a very fundamental and very famous question. And he lays it right out there in the opening sentence. Yadua ha-sheila ha-gedola b'yisod miras ha-bitachon. It's well known, the famous fundamental question when it comes to bitachon. Midasu ma gedra u-mitzvata u-shtei drachim atzino b'tshuvat shelazu. Fundamentally, what is included in this mitzvah? If you remember, the first chapter was, is there a mitzvah bitachon? Which he said the answer to that is yes. What is included? If it's belief in action, okay, but what belief in action am I supposed to have? It's a fundamental, famous debate, two basic positions. Yeshomrim, he says, first he's going to sketch them out theoretically, and then he'll put some names and give some quotes on each side. First possibility, he says, is Yeshomrim, Shekol inyana bitachon, leida shakol biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ein davar niftzar mimenu. The first approach is that everything comes from Hashem. There's nothing that's omitted, nothing left out, nothing is to chance, everything is from Hashem. You should realize that everything is truly being run, details, specifics, dot the I, cross the T, it all comes from Hashem. In any kind of test you have in your life, any challenge, any difficulty, where you, a man, a human being, encounters any one of these challenges or tests, Yodea shehakol bidei shamayim. You should realize that everything is from Hashem. Uberatzor Hashem yinatzel min hasakana. And here's that basis. And if God wants, that's the key point when we contrast this with the other view. But according to this first view, it's quite ambitious. It all comes from Hashem. And you have to really believe that if Hashem wants, beratzor Hashem yinatzel min hasakana, you could get saved. And he adds, just to make the point even sharper, no pun intended, afilu cherev, even if a sword, and not only a sword, a cherv chada, a sharp sword is munachad al tzavaro, is hanging right over your neck. The famous, you know, sword of Damocles, it's kind of hanging right over you. You're about to die, chas v'shalom, literally or figuratively. Al yimna atzma min harachmim, as the Gemara in Brachot says on Daf Yud Alamed Aleph. Never, give up hope from Hashem's rachamim. Hashem could save us in any circumstance. Now, this sounds quite ambitious. If you forgive the expression, you could say even quite frum. No matter how long the odds, no matter how difficult the circumstances, know that it's all from Hashem, and if it's from Hashem, he can change on a dime, even at the last minute. But here's the key point. Aval, he says, Ein b'midas ha-bitochen l'havtiach sha'achein ya'azreyu Hashem v'yinatzel min ha-sakana ha-tzar v'ha-nezek. The fact that Hashem could save you does not mean he will. Bitachon does not mean, according to this first approach, that all will turn out the way you want. It means that no matter what, it's coming from Hashem, and therefore Hashem can intervene even at the last moment, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how unlikely, we never give up hope, because it's all b'yidei Hashem. But it does not mean that everything is going to be just fine. Everything will turn out the way you want. That's not bitachon, according to this first approach. I emphasize that, and of course Rav Asher Weiss is emphasizing that, because that is in fact exactly what the second approach does believe. The Yesh Omrim, the Next approach is, no, sha'af zot mimidas ha-bitachon, that this is in fact part of the bitachon, that she'yiftach ha'adam sha'kadosh baruch hu achein yatzilehu, that you should realize, you should believe, I should say, that Hashem will in fact, achein, in fact, save you, v'yimaltehu min atzar, you will escape the challenge, the nezek, v'yas pik lo tzrachav b'chasadav ha'merubim. Hashem will give you whatever it takes to get out of that situation. U'ka'asher achein yiftach b'Hashem, and if you in fact truly believe that Hashem can do that, b'schus ha'bitachon, as a reward, almost a mita keneged mita for your trust in Hashem, yinatzel min hatzar v'hanezek. So that, the first bitachon according to both views is quite an ambitious and comprehensive mida. The main and really primary difference is, do you go 9/10 of the way or all the way? The first view says everything comes from Hashem. We don't look at the world as random. It's all from Hashem. And Hashem, therefore, can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He could save you no matter how unlikely it seems. That's 9/10. But this first shita stops right there. It says, but it's not what you might say somewhat pejoratively. It's not a naive, Pollyannish view that, oh, but it's always going to be good. Who said it's always going to be good? It's always good from Hashem's perspective. But who said it's always going to be good from your perspective? Sometimes things are going to be bad. Didn't you have bitachon? Yeah, bitachon doesn't include that. The second view goes all the way. No, if you have that bitachon, that's a very high level, very high level. But if you have that level, Hashem promises it'll all work out well. Now, says Rav Asher Weiss, v'nechazeh anan, let's go see who says what. So, with those two possibilities in mind, he basically claims here, and this is going to be for today's learning, that it's a machlokes between the Chazon Ish and almost everybody else. The first approach is very, very famous from the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish here, he's going to give a very lengthy quote here in the second chapter, Perek Bet, of the Chazon Ish's Sefer. It's a thin Sefer exactly on this topic called Emuna Ubitachon. And here, Rav Asher Weiss introduces the quote, and then on the next page we'll see a lengthy quote. Says the Rav Asher Weiss that the Chazon Ish in his Sefer Emunah Bitachon writes that kesha adam omeid be'eitz tzara v'omer Hashem ya'azor. You're in a difficult situation and you trust Hashem ya'azor. Hashem will help. The Rabbeinu Shleilim shall helfen. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will help. V'hu batuach shelo yi'uneh lo kol ra. And if a person thinks to himself, well, because I'm so confident, because I have so much trust in Hashem, therefore I'm confident everything's going to work out right. Listen to this. Tohehu. That is a mistake. Ki meheichan habitachon shaya. Turn over the next page. Meheichan habitachon shaya ya'azor. How do you know? Who told you that bitachon is going to win the day? Hare yesh din v'yesh dayan. It's not some automatic game or a computer program that if you write the right line of code, you're guaranteed to get a specific result. There's a din, there's a dayan, there's Hashem who's always choosing. Ubier chazonish, the begeder bitachon hu hanahagas emuna lemaisa. I would underline that or star that. That's exactly what we said in the previous chapters. That what is bitachon? It's emuna in action. Emuna lemaisa. Emuna, what is emuna? That's a rayon mufshat, as we saw previously. That's abstract. Bitachon hu hamivchan shamuna. That's the true test. It's one thing to have emuna theoretically. If I ask you what does a Jew believe, you could tell me what his Jew believes. But if you're in the moment, you're in a crisis, you're in a challenging situation, and you rely on Hashem even then, you trust in Hashem even then, that's the true test. Vaboteach, eino choshesh min ha-savirot. And if you truly have bitachon, you don't start worrying about what's more likely or less likely. Afilu goses b'yadakar shbarcho l'irposo. And you realize, even if you're at death door, you're at the end, you're a ghost says, you're in your last few hours or even at most days of life. Still Hashem could heal you. So again, it's a humongously positive, ambitious belief. Someone with less belief, someone who's more secularly oriented, might scoff at this. Come on. Why would you think Hashem could help you? Shouldn't we play the odds? What he calls a svirot, what's more likely or less likely? But a person who's a baal ma'amin, a baal bitachon, he's not worried. He knows that no matter what the odds are, Hashem could help him. But as far as that, he still stops short. Ein kol bitachon shakadosh baruch hu achen yazor im ein ha'adam roi lakach. But just because I have belief, just because I have trust, does not mean that Hashem will in fact help. That is Hashem's going to determine. Based on Hashem's inscrutable and infinite wisdom, do we deserve or not? I assume that Hashem will take into account that I have bitachon. That's a zechus. I have other zechusim too. But Hashem may still decide, based on His infinite wisdom, that I still don't deserve to be saved. That's not a steer to bitachon. Bitachon is not a guaranteed winning lottery ticket. Now that's the idea. Let's see a few. We won't read the whole thing inside. It's not really necessary, and we don't have time for it anyway. But let's read a few of the key lines from the Chazon Ish inside. This is the next whole page plus is a selection for the Chazon Ish. Let's just read a few highlights. Let's start with the first line. Says the Chazon Ish, this is his eye-catching line. By the time, Max, that you hear me saying this, we've already talked about it twice. But now we're going to actually hear from the Chazon Ish's own words. Ta'us noshenet nezracha, excuse me, b'leiv rabim b'musag b'tchon. It's also worth noting that the Chazon Ish made up a lot of his own Hebrew words. He has a very hard Hebrew, very different than Rav Kook, but he shared one thing in common with Rav Kook. They kind of made up their own words, I think. So he says here, it's an old and ancient problem, nezracha, which I think basically means it became naturalized, like an Ezracha is like a naturalized citizen. So there's an old, common, widespread, long-standing mistake, which has become internalized, naturalized in the heart of many Jews, about what's bitachon. And they basically ruin things. And first he says what bitachon is, and then he'll explain what it's not. Shem bitachon hamishamesh lemidah mehulala v'yikarit b'fi hachasidim. This idea of bitachon in the eyes of the really pious, it refers to a very, very high level, a very, very incredible thing. Nistovavah b'musag chova la'amin, and it revolves around the need to believe. That in any situation you have, where you're confronted with two possibilities, and neither one of them is for sure, one is good, one is bad. Fifth line, ki botea betach yatov, betach yatov. People think, this is the mistake, says the Chazon Ish. People think, betach yatov, it's for sure going to be good. And anyone who thinks that it might not be good, that shows you have a lack of bitachon. Even conceiving of the possibility that something bad is going to happen means you don't have bitachon. So says the Chazon Ish, that's the classic, what he calls ta'us noshenes. Says the Chazon Ish very famously, ein hora'a zu b'pitachon nechona. This is simply incorrect. Skip the line and a half or so by the period. Aval inyan bitachon, what is it if it's not that? Hu ha'imun she'ein mikre ba'olam. It's something very fundamental and very comprehensive, but it's still not saying that everything's a winning lottery ticket. Rather, it's a belief that there are no coincidences. Everything's from Hashem. V'chol ha'nasa tachas ha'shemesh, ha'kol b'hachraza mi'itoy barach. It's all coming from Hashem. Now that's already a high enough madrega, but just because you have that madrega does not guarantee it will work out the way you wanted it to. Skipping to the second to last line on the page where it gets bold. Ein lefanav netiya l'ra yoter minetiya l'tova. Inyan ze yikreyu midas ha-bitachon. It doesn't necessarily guarantee one way more likely good or more likely bad. Bitachon is not about that. Midas ha-bitachon l'hamir atzmo amdkurat ha-emunah. But rather, what does bitachon mean? The following point. You have to believe, even when you consider the possibility, even when there might be the possibility of bad things happening, even if bad things happen, you have to realize it's not mikre. It's not a complete coincidence. It's not a happenstance. That's what bitachon means as a Chazon Ish. It's a very high madrega. But it does not come and get with a guaranteed ticket. As long as you reach that madrega, you can always be sure everything will be okay. That's not what the Chazon Ish believes. He thinks that's a fundamental mistake. If you skip to the next paragraph, he says, "Umipashtos l'shono mashma, the ain kol segula b'bitachon." Bitachon is not a segula, right? Today's day and age, we love segulas. If I do this or I think that, I'm guaranteed of the result I want, of the shidduch, of the parnasa, of whatever the case may be. Says the Chazon Ish, bitachon is not a segula. It does not guarantee success or salvation. Hashem will decide based on his complex discernment if you're deserving or not. But nothing is guaranteed. Okay? Now, all of that is approach number one. The Chazon Ish is articulate. The Chazon Ish is powerful. He's passionate. But that's only one view. Says Rav Ashi Weiss, we have to be honest. Ach mekoros rabim yesh b'divrei Rabbeinu Gedolei HaDoros. And even in Chazal, the Yesh school of a Bitachon, there are other sources that say no. Bitachon is even more than that. Bitachon has a certain magical or mystical power. It's a skula. Aidei midas ha-bitachon zocha adam l'nisiyev yeshuos v'yesh b'bitachon achein l'hovi ala boteach midas ha-rachamim u'lahagen lov mikol tzar v'nezek. In fact, according to this other approach, yes, it's true that everything comes from Hashem. Of course you have to believe that, but it's one more thing. That's only 9/10. But we got to go all the way, 10/10, all the way. That if you truly have that belief, in fact, Hashem will make that happen. It's a way of, in a certain sense, almost guaranteeing the Hashkacha. Now you might say, that sounds so extreme. Really? Is that possible? So Rav Asher Weiss, in the next few pages, lists source after source after source from some of the most famous Baalei Machshava, Rishonim and Achronim that we have, that in fact say that. So in the time remaining that we have, we'll just see a few of the samplings that he quotes. And then Emir Tzashem will pick up with this next week. And again, maybe we'll have three parts, maybe only two parts, but there's definitely a whole second half, if not three parts, of the shiur that we will not get to today. But for now, let's see a few of the famous examples where you have people with, you know, as or maybe even more, so to speak, impeccable, yichus, if you will, reputation, even as important as the Chazon Ish is, there's other great Rishonim and Achronim who seem to say even very differently. So the first thing he quotes, interestingly enough, is Reb Chaim Volozhiner. In the Nefesh HaChaim, in the third Shar, part 3, Perek Yud Bet, 12th chapter. And says that Rav Asher Weiss, because the language is so beautiful, let's see what Rav Chaim Volozhiner himself said. So we'll read a few of the lines from this quote here, bottom of page of Tet. Inyan Gadol V'skula Nifla'a L'hasir U'levatel Me'alav Kol Dinim V'retzonos Acherim Shlo Yochul L'shlot Bo V'lo Yasu Shum Roshem Klal. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, there's a certain incredible power, a certain skula that we have, if we utilize it, that can get rid of any possibility, any chance of bad things happening. Because Adam Kovei Belibo, if a person will truly believe, impart in his heart, Lamor, to say, Halo Hashem Hu Elokim HaEmiti, God is the true God, Hashem is the true God. And what does that mean? Ein od milvadoi parach, shum koch bolam, ubcholam okolol. In this world and in every world, there is no other source of power. Yes, there are politicians. Yes, there are globalists. Yes, there are plutocrats. There's tycoons. There's political forces. There's mystical forces. There's scientific forces. There's all that. But says the Nefesh HaChaim, of course we believe that Hashem is in control of all of that. Hashem is above all of that. There's nothing that is above Him. Hashem is in control of everything. And nevertheless, because of that fact, if one truly has that belief, skipping to the last two lines there, Kein yaspik hu yitparach biado shemimela yitpatlu me'alav kol hakochot varetzono shebalam shlo yuchlu lifol lo shum devar klal. And other than Hashem wanting something to happen, there's no way it will happen. And therefore, he says, if a person has this belief and trust in Hashem, Hashem will be me'mela misbatal me'alav. Hashem will get rid of all these other kochot who could want something bad to happen to you. So we're going to see a few other sources which may even be clearer than this. But here already the Nefesh HaChaim seems to say, much differently than the Chazon Ish, that if you truly believe that it's all from Hashem, bitachon, emuna, practically speaking, it's a walking emuna, a living emuna, that in fact can guarantee, like a skula, bad things don't happen. And he pivots. This is very classic and clever of Rav Asher Weiss. He pivots from Rav Chaim Volozhiner to the Besht, the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov writes, Mi sheyesh lo midas habitachon b'Hashem yizbarach u'bemes afilu im nigzar lav chas Hashem kama gzeros ros. If you have truly habitachon, even if many, many decrees of bad and evil were decreed, e efshar, what a line, e efshar, l'midas hadin l'shlot lav. If you truly have habitachon, the midas hadin, the bad thing, simply cannot impact you. Who? Baduk. And he bolds that Rav Asher Weiss. That bolding is not from the Besht, but it is from Rav Asher Weiss. Who? Baduk. In other words, the Baal Shem Tov is not just saying this like pie in the sky. He's saying this is a baduk. This is tried and true. It's tested. This has happened. people who had bad things happening to them, they truly had bitachon in Hashem, and it became good. It worked. It's a skula. He says, in fact, he thinks it's really not even such a chiddush. It's what's hinted at in the way he reads a pasuk in Tehillim. Perak kuf chav hey, that's actually a typo. That says kuf chav aleph. It's really kuf chav hey. Pasuk aleph. Shir ha-ma'alot ha-botchim ba-Hashem. Who are the botchim ba-Hashem? What do we compare the people who trust in Hashem? Kahar Tzion. And what is the benefit of being like this mountain, like Har Tzion? Lo yamut, it will not falter. And instead, li'olam yeshev, it will abide, it will stand, if you will, forever. So lo yamot, says the Baal Shem Tov. If I am botech ba-Hashem, lo yamot, I will not falter, which he reads as, nothing bad will happen to me. Well, if that's from the father of Chassidus, so we are not surprised that, not that long after that, one of the great early Hasidic leaders after the Besht was, of course, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. And here he quotes from the Kedushas Levi in Parshas Beshtalach, on the Pasuk of Norah Tehilot, right, how amazing are, right, is Hashem. So Osef Ella, he does amazing things. So he quotes the Kedushas Levi, the Gemara, and Nida, Daf Lamed Aleph. Ein Balanes Makir Beniso. So that's not really what is necessary for us, but he does make a point, the Kedushas Levi, not only is Ein Balanes Makir Beniso, usually that Gemara is understood, and I think it's very true, frankly, in my own life for sure, when you're going through something, you don't always realize it. You could be benefiting from Hashem's nes, but when you're in the moment, when you're actually the one benefiting, you can't always see it. Other people could see what you can't always see. I think that's the Pashup Shot of the Gemara. But the Kedushas Levi says no. Ein Balanes Makir Beniso, he's going to explain, means if you want Hashem to do a miracle for you, one of the conditions is you can't think it's a miracle. Now, what does he mean by that? He's going to explain. A miracle means something like, wow, that was like so hard. But it's not really, right? Because it's Hashem. Right? Hashem could make, you know, all of a sudden gravity go in reverse. Or Hashem could keep gravity the way it is. From Hashem's perspective, why is one harder than the other? So that's how he understands Ma'ein Bala Nes Makir Beniso. If you think it's a nes, if you think it's wow, like, oh, wow, that's so cool Hashem did that, that shows you don't really believe that Hashem could do everything. Okay, now that's a side point. That's not really the issue for us. But if you take a look at the second line, he says, after making that point, excuse me, the third line, he says, you have to realize that if you have a alhanes, mehabore baruchu likvo b'machshavto, she'ein ze b'derechnes. Okay, that's again, well, that's the point I just mentioned in the third line, that you have to realize that it's not really a miracle. Rak b'cheifat Hashem, habore terakol. After all, everything comes from Hashem. Hu ba yecholet v'rav ha'alila. He can do anything. Katan v'gadol et slo shavin, right? Small or big. Left or right. Up or down. All Hashem, it's all the same. Im kach machzik bitchono ve'emunato b'Hashem yitbarach. Therefore, what should you do? You should have bitachon and emuna. Kishu nitzrach l'shum davar. Anything you need, yamashe, whatever it is, you should have belief and trust in Hashem that can come from him. And then here's the key point. Azai. Halfway down at the end of the line. Azai osin lo umisayin lo. Says the Kedushas Levi, just like we saw from the Baal Shem Tov and Reb Chaim Volozhiner. If you have that true belief, if you have that true bitachon, azai osun lo umasayin lo, it will happen. You will get it. It's a skula in essence. Very much not like the chazon ish. Very much not like that. And let's just see if we can quickly, before we finish, do two more sources. I'm going to go out of order for a second, and let's skip to the last page I have here. He gives one more selection from the Nefesh HaChaim. Look at the bottom of the page here. I'm skipping. Hopefully we'll have time to go back to the source right before that in a second. But he gives you, he already quoted the Nefesh HaChaim. Here he quotes another one, which is, again, very, very clear and very, very powerful. And again, but I don't think it's, I'm not sure I would have thought it's Pashup Shat, but that just goes to show how much the Nefesh HaChaim must have believed it. The very famous and surprising Pasuk before Kriyat Yamsuf, when the Jewish people are surrounded on the left and the right, they have the Yam Suf on the one hand, Egyptians bearing down on them at the other hand, and the Jewish people cry out to Hashem. What could be bad about that? Right? And Hashem tells Moshe, Mati Tzakelai! What are you complaining to me for? What are you davening for? Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Tell them not to stop davening and start walking. Now, all the Mefarshim, you know, are bothered by that pasuk. Like, really? I thought davening is a good thing. Since when do we tell people don't cry out to Hashem? Okay? So how does the Nefesh HaChaim understand that pasuk? Rotzalomer, that means to say, Dibididhu talya milsa. Of course it's dependent on Hashem. Shim Hema Yubitokef Amuna Vabitachon of Yisa Haloch Fanasoa Elayam Samuchli Bam Lo Yira Me Etzam Bitchonam Shavada Yikral Fanayam. This is an unbelievable, again, I'm not convinced of the pshat, but it's an unbelievable pshat. Says in Nefesh HaChaim, if you daven to Hashem, please make something happen, on some level, that already shows doubt whether it will happen or won't. That's why I'm davening for it. Dabar el ben Yisrael, matetzak elai v'yiso, just start walking. If you just walk into the yam, what does that show? That shows even more than davening, that shows that you have true belief that Hashem will split the sea, that He'll save you. If you daven to Hashem, we saw in one of our previous shurim, that davening is important. I also discussed this, I think it came up, if I remember correctly, in the Rav Shachter Tefillah shurim, that davening is a form of emunah, because it only makes sense to daven to Hashem if we believe that He could do something about it. So it's a madrega to daven, for sure. Right? If you just call the police and don't daven, that's a lack of belief. We usually think, call the doctor, call the police, and daven. But davening is a madrega, because it shows you believe that Hashem is the ultimate author, ultimate power. Okay. But what's even more than that, says the Nefesh HaChaim? You know why it was wrong for them to daven there? Because by davening, that showed that they weren't convinced it was going to happen, and therefore they felt the need to nudge God along, if you will. So Hashem says, no, have true bitachon. If you walk in that water, that shows you have true bitachon. You're absolutely convinced it's going to happen. That's even a higher madrega, in a sense. And if you're not scared, lo yira me'etzem lo yira, if you're not scared, then what's the result, says the Nefesh HaChaim? Me'etzem bitachonam, because from the very fact that they had bitachon in Hashem, shevada yikra lefneim. You'll walk into the river, the water, because you're so absolutely sure Hashem is going to do the miracle for you. So again, that's, I think, it's just a great vort. Very fascinating. And it's another way where maybe even more crystal clear than the first time, the Nefesh HaChaim makes his point. We have a little bit of time, so let's just do the last source. Now I'm going back to it. And that is, perhaps you could say surprisingly, the Rambam. The Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim. Right? I think on some level, the fact that we have all these Hasidic sources saying this sounds like a very Hasidic idea. And even the Nefesh HaChaim, who was very much not a chassid, but the Nefesh HaChaim was a Kabbalist, he was a mystic. We often think nowadays of, oh, there's the rationalists, then there's the chassidic mystical people. But at least in the time of the Gra and the Nefesh HaChaim, you could be a mystic, you could be a Kabbalist, but not be a chassid. Right? They weren't the same thing at all, for sure not. So, okay, Nefesh HaChaim, fine. But the Rambam, Moreh Nevuchim, right? This doesn't sound like such a rational way to go through life. And the Rambam is not saying, I don't interpret it at least, that the Rambam is saying exactly the same thing everyone else is, but this is a pretty famous passage, if I'm not mistaken, in the Rambam, and he is saying something that's very interesting. I'll just put it that way for sure. So we'll read the beginning of the passage, then we'll skip till the end. So the beginning, he says, this is the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel Perek Nun Aleph. Kefi Shi'ur Shekol Baal Seichel. Excuse me, I skipped a word. Oh no, I got it. Shekol Baal Seichel Tia Hashkachabo. To the extent that, no, I did skip a word, I'm sorry. Kefish Yur Seichel Kol Baal Seichel. It's a little bit of a tongue twister. I think I can get a pass on that. Kefish Yur Seichel Kol Baal Seichel Tia Hashkachabo. To the extent that any Baal Seichel, any rational, sentient, you know, intellectual being, to the extent that that person has Seichel, he's intellectualizing and he is thinking of Hashkacha Bo. He's thinking and connecting and realizing using his brain that Hashem is in charge of everything. Ha'isha Shalem Bahasagato Asher Lo Yasur Sichlo Meshem Tamid. A person who's what the Rambam calls Isha Shalem, the highest level, what does that mean? That Bahasagato, with his intellectual faculties, he is never ever removed from or detached from Hashem. Lo Yasur Sichlo Meshem Tamid. He's constantly thinking about Hashem. Tia Hashkacho Bo Tamid. Says the Rambam, if a person is constantly thinking about Hashem, then Hashem will constantly be thinking about him. Hashkacha Bo Tamid. A very famous doctrine, says the Rambam, that Hashkacha works like a quid pro quo. Mida keneged mida. The more you think about Hashem, the more you put him in your life, the more Hashem will be in your life. Now, I don't know, maybe this is something that Gavriel will interview Rav Bick about, and we could get a more philosophical and sophisticated description of. But for our purposes, I'll say, you know, just off the top of my head, what I believe he's saying and what I recall him saying is that there's something we might call variable hashkacha. How much is Hashem involved in the world? The answer is it's not one thing, it's a variable. It depends on how much you're thinking of him. The more you're connected to Hashem, the more bitachon you have, then the more hashkacha you will get. If you don't think about Hashem, it could turn out well, it might not. But then you actually could be left more to the winds of fate and chance. The more you think of it coming from Hashem, in fact, the more it will. That's the doctrine that the Rambam seems to be saying here. And we're not going to have time to, I don't think it's even necessary to read all of the paragraph, but if you skip to the last few lines, this will be the last thing we do today. He says in bold, "Umivneze yireli," says the Rambam. This is still the Rambam speaking. "Ki kol mi she ta'amtsehu ra'a me'ra'os ha'olam min ha'vi'im u'min ha'chasidim ha'shlimim lo matseyu ha'ra'ahu rak b'eit ha'shikachahi." Whenever you find that anything bad happened to a person, even if the person was a big tzaddik, a navi, or a chassid, it only happens, lo matseyu ha'ra'ahu, you only find that these bad things happen when? B'eit ha'shikachahi. At a moment where a person forgets about Hashem, removes himself from Hashem. Ulefi erech hashkacha hahi o pchisas einin asher tzabik bo. And therefore, to sum up, to the extent that a person does have in mind and connect to Hashem, or God forbid the opposite, to the extent that he doesn't have, yeah, otzem hara, that will determine how good or bad something is. So, I'm not saying this is exactly the same thing as the other mefarshim, but it's or other thinkers. But if it's not identical, I have to admit, it's not completely different either. It's somewhat close. The Rambam does seem to be saying, and this seems, again, we could talk to other more professional philosophers, which I am not, if they think this is correct reading of the Rambam. But the Rambam does seem to be saying that the more you trust in Hashem, the more Hashem will take care of you. Well, doesn't that sounds like the best? That sounds like the Kedushas Levi. It sounds like B'chaim V'lozhner. So maybe there are some nuanced differences. But one thing for sure, it sounds somewhat different than the Chazon Ish. So it seems like right now we have, you know, the Chazon Ish. I know, Mac, you probably prefer football. I prefer basketball. But, you know, sometimes you have somebody on offense going like 1-on-5. Right? You say, wait for the rest of your team. You know, don't try to do it all yourself. But right now it seems that the Chazon Ish is going 1-on-4, 1-on-5, 1-on-3. Right? So we'll have to, Mirtz Hashem, pick up next week where we'll see, I mean, we could see if we want in the beginning, Rav Asher Weiss brings even more and more Mefarshim, including Midrashim, that seem to follow this majority view. But then Rav Asher Weiss is going to suggest that perhaps we could actually boil this down to a very fundamental machloket in the Rishonim, even before the Chazon Ish. And he wants to suggest maybe this is a machloket between the Ramban and the Chovat HaLevavot. But for that, we'll have to, Mirtz Hashem, meet again next week. Okay, so that is